there's a lot of hate going on. You pop a cherry with an orgy and it's all good.
Really, really talented, handsome young man.
Don't walk in here with a giant banana and think everything's going to be peaches.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for April 25th, 2011, our 133rd show, the final of the semester. I'm your host, Adam Berry, and joining me today in all-star lineup, we got Jesse Simonton.
Widespread panic, baby.
Kyle Maestri.
The end of an era.
Anthony Chang.
There's like all the lights, Kanye West edition, all these superstars.
Tyler Chet.
Hey, guys.
And Greg Luca.
Future host.
Wow, that's a scary process.
That is
now the second time Chang has used that all the lights joke in the last week, by the way. So I just want to put that out there.
Nobody
that's
else
not
knows
Anthony
that
Chang original. I'd say we have a lot to talk about on today's show, but about 30 seconds before we started recording this, we realized that wasn't true. But we will start with some recent Florida football news. A couple of players getting arrested. Kyle, do you want to update us on what's been going on? No.
As far back as Jenkins or the other guys?
Yeah, go back to Janoris.
Janoris Jenkins was arrested early Saturday morning. Is that right, guys?
Yeah, I think 12:30, so yeah. Barely
it's
Saturday.
Always confusing. Really, his Friday night spilled over. But he was in a parking lot somewhere off of Main Street. I don't know. Cops saw him smoking. I don't know. When Jenkins saw the cop saw him, kind of left the car. A cop came over, found weed in the car, kind of brought Jenkins back. That's what the police report says anyway. He wasn't, like, taken to jail or anything. He was just given, like, a citation, and he has a court date. Pretty much the exact same deal as his first arrest a couple months ago. So that was the first big news. What are they going to do with Jenkins? Second arrest of the Will Muschamp era. Until last night, which is Sunday night, couple players, Chris Martin and Kedrick Johnson, apparently were arrested for the same offense, marijuana possession, earlier in the semester. We never heard about it. So that second arrest in the Muschamp era is actually the fourth, if you're keeping score at home. And I don't know. I mean, it's not – none of this is really, like, too shocking or too crazy, except that, you know, I mean, the things to consider, is it, like, an epidemic on the team and how much does that matter? Jenkins being a repeat defender, I mean, offender, how much does that affect, you know, how much you punish him? And then also, what I'm curious to find out, we may never find this out, is did Muschamp know about Martin and Johnson and didn't say anything? Which is kind of, we could argue that's kind of stupid. Why not get out in front of that? Or two, did he not know, which is also maybe kind of alarming, like he doesn't know that his own players have been getting arrested, and if so, how upset was he to find that out?
Yeah,
so
equally concerning. But the thing is, with the way spring went, couldn't they have technically been suspended for a couple practices and we just might not have known?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if that's the way they wanted to handle it, they definitely could do that. I think it's stupid because once that stuff breaks, as it did now it's going to be like a twice as big as it was. You know, if he would have said these players had this problem, we're handling it in-house, whatever.
Right.
But now it makes it seem like there's stuff being swept under the rug, so.
All right, let's talk about how it should be handled and how we think it'll be handled. Let's start with Tyler. You look like you got stuff to say.
Boom. I don't know. I think it was funny that it is an epidemic of marijuana hitting the football team. I mean, Jenkins, before, you figured maybe it'd be like a one or two game suspension thing. I think, like, if Muschamp's serious about this, and obviously you're going to come in as a new coach, you're going to say you're serious about, you know, taking care of these arrests, doing all the things the right way, quote unquote, which, you know, every college football team does except for Ohio State and Auburn and Oregon, apparently. And everybody else, apparently. I got to think that it's going to be a more lengthy extension or suspension now. It's got to go into SEC play if it's 2 and 2 months or 2 and 3 months or whatever.
So you think, what do you think, 3-4 games? I mean, he's not going to suspend it for a season. He's not going to
kick
him off
the team. No, I don't
think
it's a season. But 4 or 5 games, I would think.
Okay. Jack, what's your disciplinarian sense there?
Well, I don't think there's anything new. Like, when you look back, Percy Harvin, Aaron Hernandez, they're both, you know, it was talked about they smoked marijuana as well. And they were kind of, you never heard that much about that either. Like Aaron Hernandez, I know he was suspended one game or like was punished, but I don't think they released the exact reason. And then later it came out that he was, you know, he failed the drug test. And that never was released. So like, I mean, Urban Meyer kind of handled it the wrong way too. I just think it's something that's going on.
But here's the biggest difference is that we all know about it. Like it's not like a thing with
no, but I know, but we were saying that
because that was just not ready to play.
Right, they weren't ready to play. They were so high.
First, they weren't ready to play.
Yeah, well, I think what we're saying is that, like, why didn't they release the information? Like, why did they hide it the whole time when, like, I feel like Urban Meyer probably did that same thing for a little bit, too, with with him.
Right. But the thing is that Urban was criticized for whatever, what was the final tally?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's anything new. And, I mean, these players should definitely be suspended for, like, Tyler Center 2 games or something like that. But.
Yeah, Adam kind of brings up a good point. That's kind of like the Muschamp's going to have to make a call right now. Is it just going to be business as usual? Is it going to be, you know, 25 more players arrested over the next 6 years?
Right.
Or is he going to try to make that number shrink a lot? And I don't really know the right answer, especially for offenses like this. Like, I mean, it's one thing if you, you know, hit a girl or stuff like that. I mean, we take that a lot more seriously than something like this. But at the same time, you know, if Muschamp wants to come in and say, this is not how we're going to do it, we're really concerned with our image and stuff like that, he's got to drop the hammer now. He can't wait on this kind of stuff.
Right.
Which is why I think that he should just, I mean, I argue about this at the beginning of the semester when Jenkins announced that he should come back, that they should just mutually agree to part ways and let Jenkins go to the, you know, supplementary draft, and he'll get drafted in the second, you know, second round of the supplementary draft, and that's because of his shoulder injury. That's probably where he would have been right at the beginning of that position, late first, early second anyway. So just part ways and let Jenkins go ahead and become a pro, and then Muschamp can kind of wipe his hands clean, the cleans of this situation, and then attack these other ones of, you know, quote unquote, if there's an epidemic with the Florida guys.
Marijuana's just everywhere.
Smoking doobies everywhere.
Here's the thing, like, is this, I mean, this isn't his fault necessarily. Like, these are not his guys. This is not, you know, like, it is his team and it's his job to manage them, but, like, should people really be blaming him for this?
No, well, he's got Martin and Johnson for 3 more years. I mean, those are pretty much his guys at this point. Like, I know he didn't recruit him, but, like, Jenkins, I think we kind of brushed that aside a little bit. He was like, well, he got in trouble under Meyer. And, I mean, that's a guy that's about to be a senior. He's not really Muschamp's guy. But those are three. They're going to be his guys for 3 years, assuming that everyone stays for 3 years.
I mean, here's how I would handle it. I would basically, if I were Will Muschamp, I would just, and this might not be, like, politically correct, but I would just take the approach from here on out of, like, look, if you get caught in public with this stuff, you're embarrassing us, you're marring the program's name, I'm taking you down. Mm-hmm. I'm suspending you for 6 games, like, no more of this crap. But if you fail one of my drug tests because you're smoking weed in your house, we'll work with you. Like, maybe you only miss a game, or maybe your punishment's less, or, like, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll reach some kind of happy medium. If you're failing multiple of those, then obviously, like, you know, there's an issue. But no more of this crap in public. None of that. We're not doing 25 arrests. We're not doing that. That's right. What I would do if I were him.
But that's kind of what Anthony was kind of getting at, though, when you were talking about, you know, the difference between these guys and, obviously, Hernandez and Harvin and all those right. people, is that they weren't, quote-unquote, ready to play because they were privately failing drug tests, whereas right. now these guys are actually doing it in public. And I agree with both of you guys on that, that I think if it's in public and we all know about it, then it's you have to go down harder on them just for your own image.
Right, because that's when it becomes the epidemic. It's like now it's just like all these, you know, all these Florida football players smoking weed, whereas with Urban, it was just like all these guys getting suspended in trouble, you know, in trouble otherwise. I think when it happens in public, like Kyle said, it's much more of an issue.
Yeah, and I agree with Kyle, too. And like you said, I know it's really not Coach Muschamp's fault, but right now it's like this is in his hands now. Like, this is where it could be his fault if he doesn't do something about it. You know, he can be criticized for this. I don't think he should be criticized yet, but he could be criticized if he doesn't do something about it.
Right. All right. Is anybody else got anything on any of that exciting topic? Greg, are you still alive?
Yeah, I was just gonna say. I mean, you guys, Nate Jones. You guys covered pretty much everything, but I would say that. I'm interested to see just what he does, what Muschamp decides to do, because I feel like this will set kind of a baseline where more serious offenses will be more time than whatever happens with these guys, and less serious offenses will be less time. So this will be something to kind of judge in the future what's going to happen.
A benchmark,
if you will. The barometer for his disciplinary actions.
All right. That's all I got. All
right. And it could be interesting because he has to suspend all of them if he's going to suspend one. But Janoris is the star player. Right. The two other guys are, you know, I mean, they could play, but probably, you know, not going to get as much playing time as Janoris. So
right.
It could be interesting to see how he handles that, too.
Right, so what? Let's say predictions then. Janoris, I'd say I like 4 or 5 games. I'd say probably, what's the 5th game of the year? You go two easy games and then Tennessee, Kentucky. I'd say he's back for the 5th game.
It's probably like Alabama. It's probably like that.
That's how it was last year. Alabama was the 5th game. Okay. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I still think 5.
Okay. Anybody else think? What do you guys think for the Chris Martin types?
My initial reaction to the Janoris thing was 4 to 6 games, and I kind of still feel that way. And for Martin and Johnson, it'll be, I don't even, with those guys, he might handle the Jenkins thing this way too, but those will definitely probably be indefinite suspensions. Like, there's no reason to hit one of those guys with, like, a six-game thing or something. But, like, he'll probably just say, you know, they need to do a certain amount to work their way back, and we'll make that call later on.
There's
going to
be a lot of community service, a lot of that stuff going on.
Keeping their nose clean.
Hitters giving back.
I honestly don't think Janoris gets suspended for that long. I don't see it happening.
Chang, you're so jaded and cynical.
I think that, I mean, he'll get suspended, but I think maybe 2 to 3 games. I don't see him 4 to 6 games.
Okay. All right.
I'll bet money on that.
We will off the air, maybe. We're going to gamble on the podcast. I don't want to go out with any legal trouble of our own. The only other recent news, maybe we can get Greg to talk about this if he knows what's going on, is Florida. We talked about the coaching hires a couple weeks ago. Billy Donovan hired his third and final assistant coach, Matt McCall, from FAU.
Bringing him back,
yeah, another former Gator. He was the director of basketball ops, I believe, during the national championship years. Another guy close to the program, kind of makes sense. Greg, do you have any basketball thoughts?
I know nothing about this McCall character, but I will say that I think it's good for Florida that they have the staff assembled now, and it's not going to carry over into the summer and be something they have to worry about as the season gets closer.
Right. And when
from that perspective, it's good.
When did the recruiting periods start? Like last Friday? Friday, the most recent Friday. But, all right, so then they've got their staff.
Can someone help me out a little bit here? I don't exactly understand what basketball operations or football operations, like the head of those operations, exactly what they do. And maybe our listeners don't either. So if someone could educate me on this, I would appreciate it.
My understanding is just that it's a lot of management. It's a lot of just like you manage the program as a whole in terms of budget and travel and things like that. It's a very vague job title. People who take that job want to be assistants. I actually know a little bit more because a guy covered in St. Pete became like a women's college basketball director of basketball ops because he wanted to become a women's basketball assistant coach and then a men's basketball assistant coach. So it's just basically a way to work your way up the ladder. I could see like head managers, you know, like people who are managing the team now become that and then try to work their way up the coaching tree.
So this is a little bit like a grad assistant?
A little more involved.
Because I think McCall, when he was here, was finishing a grad degree. I think that's what he was doing while he was here. So yeah, it's exactly like that.
Yeah. There you go. There you go, listeners. We've educated you.
Thanks, guys.
But no thoughts on the, it's all good for Greg.
I know, like I said, I know nothing. Greg, I mean, as usual.
I think it's good they got a young guy in there because the other two obviously are guys who could be out the door at any second for head coaching jobs. Right. So at least you take one guy. Although, you know, Billy kind of gave the example of Shaka Smart, like, you don't hire a guy just because of that, because they hired Shaka thinking he'd be here for a few years, and he was gone after 8 months or whatever it was. So you don't know exactly what's going to happen, and you don't want that to be the dominating factor, but I think it's definitely a plus in this situation.
It's also good because, I mean, you had two older guys in Shiat and Lanier, and then you had young Patino. So it's kind of like it mirrors that in some ways because, I mean, a couple former head coach, and then one guy who Billy can kind of groom. Sort of for a future head coaching role.
I said he was going to give Brett Nelson the finger though, and he did.
I really thought it was going to be Brett Nelson.
I said that is not happening.
Any reason why?
The person that I've talked about that is basically a third generation groupie with these guys, said that for whatever reason, Billy is not, you know, the biggest admirer of old Nelson there. Wow. So.
One of the Florida basketball thing. Do we know anything new about the Eric Murphy, Cody Larson?
I haven't seen anything new on that front, considering the trend of me not knowing things. But I think it's all still in the legal processes ongoing.
The same source was sitting poolside with him like last week, just hanging out with him, and said that Murphy and Adele originally were going to have the same lawyer, which doesn't seem very bright to me, but I don't know like the updated version of that. Because Adele apparently comes from pretty good money.
Okay.
So his family's lawyer, I guess, was taking care of it. And Murphy's, who I think also comes from money, doesn't.
Yeah.
I think that it was going to piggyback on that. But I don't know, like, if that... That doesn't sound like a good idea to me, to have the same lawyer. And so I don't know, you know, what's exactly come to fruition in that situation.
I want to see Eric Murphy defend himself in court based on the audio tapes. He has some great ideas.
He's pulling everything out, man. Pulling everything
He's
out.
He's got stories.
Dude, just tell him.
I can't imagine it wouldn't be. What's his name? Huntley Johnson defense? Or does he only do football?
He's a football guy.
He's the football team's attorney. Wow. All right, but the one thing we did see about Cody Larson is that the South Dakota court is just kind of, they're just waiting. Everybody just playing a wait and see. deal right now. Like the South Dakota court that's holding his 120-day suspended jail sentence, they're just waiting to see what happens down here. And the people down here are waiting to see what happens up there as far as that, so...
Yeah, the 120-day suspended jail sentence could be none of it comes into play or all of it comes into play or anywhere in between, so wait and see.
All right, and since clearly we don't know anything we're talking about as far as the news goes, Greg, we're going to reminisce a little bit about the last year since this is the last podcast of the semester. Like Kyle said, it is sort of the end of an era. It's me and Chang's last show. So let's talk about the year that was in Florida sports and alligator sports. Go around the room, favorite moments from either what you covered or just in general, or most memorable moments even, if there's some bad memories attached to that. Like, I'm sure there is some trauma for Greg. Greg, let's start with you.
I think the thing that I'm going to remember the most, and obviously the NCAA tournament run was fun to cover, but I think I'm going to most remember being able to cover a game in Rupp because it's such a storied building and there's so much history there. So that's something that I'll take with me from this year more than anything else.
Tyler?
My favorite moment from covering football this year was definitely after the FIU game when we had the Gary Beamer press conference when they brought in Florida was, you guys all saw the game or you guys all bought it on pay-per-view or you know the story by now, but point is that Florida was up big. They brought in a walk-on like they always do on senior day, but they put a defensive tackle in at running back at the 1 yard line and let him plow in for a touchdown, and then he had glorious flowing blonde hair. And he showed that off to the crowd, and then afterward, he just shut things down in the press conference with just the funniest jokes ever. And then after that, we got to see Jordan Reed talk, which is like the complete
Oh, no.
So that was my favorite moment, I think, from covering a terrible football team this year.
Chang?
I have two that I covered. Against Alabama, going to that stadium was really cool, like a really great atmosphere, good like fan culture around the stadium. It was a cool experience. And also, going to New Orleans to cover the basketball team's Sweet 16 and Elite Eight game. It was a lot of fun, especially since it was in New Orleans. I got to party with Greg down Bourbon Street, so that was quite the experience. So those are my two.
And you live to tell about it, too.
Yeah, I have a lot of stories from that. We have to go do that one day.
Great. Kyle, you got one thing that stands out? Any couple things?
Nah, rough year, man. rough year.
How about that Mississippi State game,
especially
Kyle?
Especially football-wise. I agree with Chang. Going to Alabama was cool. That's probably my favorite from football season and definitely from my alligator portion of the year since I, you know, was alligator for the fall and then inside the Gators for the spring. But I don't feel like as far as my years here go, this was a particularly great one for seeing cool venues or sports things. I mean, perhaps the highlight of my year was watching Morehead State play here in the non-conference basketball.
I was there for that. That was big time.
Which I made a point of covering for the Post, but I don't know, man. It was a little rough.
It was rough times for the Gator Nation.
Yeah. I would say going to Tennessee was fun, too, though.
Tennessee
was a cool state.
Tennessee was cool. Tennessee and Alabama are probably the actual answers to that question.
Okay. So. Jesse?
I don't have a real standout moment, but we've laughed about it several times. What happened out on the soccer field one time following a post-game interview with one Nikki Kitt. She had some hilarious things to say, and a specific Sun reporter that will go unnamed took, like, mad offense to what this soccer player said, even though it was, like, one of the greatest quotes ever, and had the audacity to then tell me and somebody else that we should not use this quote as to not upset the Florida program and that you learn to get ahead in this business when you don't piss people off. And it was just like...
It says someone covering women's college soccer for the Gainesville
Soccer. Excuse
me.
And he was like 32 years old or so.
And who's not even a full-time staffer. Oof. I mean, he's not even a full-time staffer for the Sun. So it was just hilarious. I mean,
I can't wait to get off air so I can figure out who this is.
Something I'll definitely remember for a while because I called Tyler right after that happened and laughed about it. And so that's probably of the last of anything I've covered. Like, something that actually happened, that's the most memorable thing.
Right. The quote was, Nikki Kitt was basically like, listen, we need to wreck Mississippi and Mississippi State every year in soccer, and the year before they had lost. And it's like this huge embarrassment. Is that basically
pretty much
what it was?
She was like, we're so much better than them. We know we're better than them. We know that basically she was like, we're going to kick their ass again. We just kicked their ass. We see them again. Whatever. And this reporter had the audacity to then go tell the UFSID for soccer, what she said. It was like, I wouldn't, you know, basically to like re-coach Nikki Kidd to how to give us bullshit for the rest of the year.
What?
It was
awesome.
Retarded.
Awesome.
I cannot wait to find out.
Real excited.
It was Ed,
about.
Right? Ed Ashaw?
Totally.
Right.
ESPN's Ed Ashaw.
That's like on ESPN.
Exactly. How do you get ahead?
Put your nose down. Totally kidding. Ed,
no, yeah.
Program.
Mine's a little difficult because kind of like Kyle, I wasn't actually in two different places, if not necessarily just for two different publications. But as far as Florida goes, God, I was in this office too much to have too many grapes. I enjoyed the Vanderbilt trip with Greg. That was a lot of fun. I love Nashville anytime. And we added a new element to this. We recorded not just a podcast, but a video show in Nashville. That was sort of an interesting experience. But as far as my favorite thing of the last year, like my favorite stories have been the Chandler Parsons feature, getting to talk to his parents. That was a cool thing. And honestly, the stuff I did for the St. Pete Times, like I wrote a story, I think we talked about it before, about a high school football player down there whose dad is in prison and his mom's a real tough single mother. That was a fun story to do. And then a story about high school swimming, which sounds like the least interesting thing in the world. And it was most of the time, yeah. But the story about this kid whose dad was like a Norwegian army general and left the country and left his position to come live in Tampa so his son could swim and be covered by idiots like me.
If you're listening in the St. Pete area and did not get selected to the first team all swim team, yell at Adam Barry.
I was about to do lowlights of the year, and me having to pick all county high school swim teams would certainly be up there. Because, I mean, Hillsborough County is a big county. There are 33 schools in the district that play. Like, I covered, like, four schools because like only the private schools were good, and then, like, the one public school I had to cover. So then I had to sit down, and they were like, all right, this is all on you. You have to pick swimmers of the year in all county, first, second, and honorable mention. And I was thinking about, like, because my brother played high school basketball, and he was, like, honorable mention, and I was thinking, like, that was a big deal for him. So I'm like, somewhere, some poor kid who I just forgot is sitting there like, I didn't even get honorable mention. Like, how can the St. Pete Times do this to me?
No, this is the St. Pete Times. You just don't want to see how that sausage is made.
No, you really don't, because it's like people, like, retards like me sitting in a room, like, sitting in my computer, like, God, I guess I got to do this, like, in the middle of all this high school football stuff that I'd rather be doing. And yeah.
What was your methodology for picking the fastest swimmers?
Fastest times. Like, fortunately for swimming, it was fairly easy. Right. Just, like, fastest times in each. And that's the thing. It wasn't just, like, five people. It was each event. One for the boys, right. One for the girls, three teams. It was...
Wow. Why didn't you just go to? Could you just go to the county meets and see who won? Because that would
there
be
were
the
no
one.
County meets because Hillsborough is so big. So you had there was like an East County meet and a West County meet, and then district competitions and regional competitions. Woo! That was yeah. I'd say well, let's go right into lowlights actually because that was one of them, and then the other one was everything related to spring football. Particularly the orange and blue game, which was one of the, like, just sitting in that press box was the ultimate, like, why am I here moment. I looked around and I was just like, nobody wants to be here. Nobody wants to be involved in what's happening right now. That was a low light for me. Although I did enjoy getting to, like, cover the football team and say that I did. It was not a fun experience. Greg, you got low lights every night you spent with me?
No, those are all right. But just all right, not great.
Yeah, that's we aim for mediocrity.
For me, it's being in Mississippi and driving to Mississippi State and getting a speeding ticket on the way there. There was just nothing right about that whole experience. It was terrible. Nobody go to Mississippi if you can avoid it.
Was that the worst state you encountered?
Yes. I didn't get to go to Arkansas, so that's a little disclaimer.
Count your blessings. The worst I encountered.
Consider yourself lucky. All right, that's a good one. Tyler?
Continuing with this theme of the annexation of Mississippi, I would say the Mississippi State football game when it was, what was it? What was the final score? 9-6?
10-3?
6-3? 10-6?
Oh,
yeah. 10-7. I don't know. It was
10-7.
Yes.
They scored
Gators.
A touchdown?
Yeah, yeah. That should have been the headline on GatorZone.com the next day. Well, apparently the podcast just stopped working, but I was talking about the Mississippi State game, and it was just depressing all around. My family comes up once a year to go, like, tailgate at a game and go to it. And that's the one they went to.
Ugh.
And it was just awful. And after the game...
That is a horrible choice by your friend.
Right. Well, it was a situation where it worked out well for everyone because my brother had to come down and everything like that. But anyway, they were sitting, like, tailgating after the game. And I came up and I'm like, so, what'd they think? And I was like, well, the team pretty much said the same thing that everyone else said, which is just, God.
I like that. Chang?
I'm going to agree with Adam on mine. Spring football was definitely my low light for the year. Just trying to figure out what was going on without any access. And, I mean, we obviously couldn't see practice. So we had to interview people after practice, before practice, and just basically believe what they told us.
I wouldn't call that interviewing.
Yeah, not even. It was just like listening
real
to what
talk,
they said.
Matty Long.
So that definitely made our jobs a lot harder. So I would think spring football would be my lit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'd say the one redeeming thing about the spring game, though, was the fact that we got to go down afterward and talk to the players and basically be like, is that pretty much what y'all have been doing all year? And they're like, yeah.
Totally. Wow, that's really sad. Kyle?
You got to have a lot of low lights. Yeah, just countless low lights this year, especially in football.
A lot of low lights.
Miserable. But the thing I like the least wasn't spring football. It was the Outback Bowl. Just everything about the Outback Bowl. I had to watch like two horrible teams play each other in a bowl game that doesn't matter. Penn State's trotting out like a walk-on quarterback. Florida essentially is trotting out a walk-on quarterback, three of them. And the whole week leading up was also, you know, Urban Meyer retires 2.0, which isn't fun for anybody. So it was just like, it was just way too much crappiness in one venue for me, so I was really glad to be done with that. And it's not like we have to go to a sweet location. It was like, let's make the trip down to Tampa. So the Outback Bowl, if I never cover another Outback Bowl, I'd be fine with that.
Hey, man, we did have a nice little camp out in my former residence.
We did. Yeah, that part was fun. The hanging out in Tampa was fine with me. One of our good friends lives there too, so
right.
It was cool. But a lot of the other stuff was just
We did get a free Bloomin' Onion, though, during the game, which wasn't too bad. That made the experience a little better.
I would say the one thing that is worse for me than anything else about these bowl games is when the coaches and the players have to pretend like they really care about it. When they're like, we're really proud to be at the Outback Bowl. It's a great experience. It's got a great tradition. It's like, well, you don't really care about
the best bowl tradition. What was the thing that ran on the video? Like the best bowl tradition in the country or whatever, the Outback Bowl?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
It was the Friday Night Rewind thing where they got the Outback Bowl director, and our boy Joey Knight was like, the greatest bowl tradition in America,
yes.
The Outback Bowl, and everybody was just like, yeah.
It's either that or the Rose Bowl, we haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
It's the best bowl in Tampa.
I mean, now that the St. Petersburg Bowl, the
right,
one
so
in
the
Tropicana.
It's the second best bowl in Tampa.
It's one of the top two Tampa Bay
area. The All-American Bowl was also in Tampa.
That's right.
So.
How was that not a low light for you?
Oh, yeah, it's also low light. It's covering the All-American football game, the high school All-American game.
You got to see a fabulous concert.
Fabulous showed up and had a concert afterwards, but it was, I mean, it was about as pointless as the other bowl games, except more pointless because of the fact that they're all young kids. Although the one thing was that there were a couple kids that I think legitimately did care a lot about it, and if you watch the All-American game this year, it came down to the wire. It was like the team Click Clack was kicking a field goal to win it and got it blocked by team Micro G, and a giant human being from team Micro G ran over to the team Click Clack sidelines where I was standing and started yelling, I'm real, I'm real. And then there was a flag on the play for like offside or something like that, so team Click Clack got to kick another field goal.
No,
they
since
made
you weren't
it.
Allowed to block field goals in
oh,
those
was that what it was?
Games. Yeah.
Oh, that guy was too real.
Yeah.
Team Micro G was too real. So I guess that would be disappointment 2.0 for me was watching that thing unfold. Although, yeah, Fabulous did show up and start rapping halfway through, so that was fun too.
All right, Jesse, we up to you.
One of the disappointments has to be to watching 4-hour baseball games. I mean, this pitch clock thing, hasn't really made that much of a difference. Mm-hmm. The greatest thing has been Hudson Randall pitching on Friday nights because it ends so quickly now. I mean, he is just, you know, speed demon out there. But my second and probably truly worst moment was when we lost the podcast that we just killed Greg about Cody Larson.
Yeah,
and then 2
yeah.
weeks later, he gets arrested.
Yeah, I agree.
It was just like, it was a highly contentious debate. You guys totally missed out. I went at Chang. I went at Greg. I mean, it was pretty epic.
Was that when I stood up and yelled? I left my seat and yelled at Greg because Greg was just defending Cody Larson.
All three of us
for no reason.
As a basketball player?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I'll yell again.
Here's what the argument is. We were projecting
next year's team.
Okay.
Florida's depth chart next year. I said Cody Larson was the backup center because he plays center.
Right.
And then that was like a big issue.
No.
Greg tried to defend that somehow he was going to give the Gators like legitimately good minutes.
No,
and that
no,
he was a quality player and that
How do we know?
Here's the argument. The argument was that Patrick Young's development is going to be even more important next year because they have no depth in the front court. And they were like, they got Cody Larson. And I was like, who the hell is Cody Larson? He's just some schmuck who's getting arrested for breaking into a car in St. Augustine.
It's probably not going to matter now, but we have no idea what he could have done.
Like, the arrest actually validated Greg's argument somehow, like saved his own ass.
Exactly, because now it's like, oh, well, now they got no depth. Cody Larson could have been a superstar. But he wouldn't, because if he was, here's the argument. You were saying that he was better than what you get.
No, he was.
And I was like, if he's obviously worse than what you get, because he got redshirted.
But what you get didn't somehow.
Let Greg speak.
No.
The fact that he got redshirted to me did not indicate that he was worse than what you get, or Casey Prather, or any of those other guys, because those people could be role players on this team because they brought the hustle or whatever.
But Cody Larson, because he's not good enough at that.
Yeah, he's not the hustle guy.
He's too good.
I just want to say this. If you get redshirted in basketball, you suck. You suck really bad. Like, maybe he could have got better, but I guarantee you this season, he sucked really freaking bad. What good players ever get redshirted in basketball? Exactly. You take your redshirt on transfer years or for injury, but if you're just not good enough to play, Sit down, Tubby.
Who was the last Florida basketball player to get redshirted for non-injury reasons? Adam Allen played his freshman year. He's worse. Adam Allen is good, dude.
No, but he would have had to be good.
Adam Allen had as productive a season as Cody Larson did this year.
What's the fake Adam Allen Twitter description? Like once scored double digits in three straight basketball games and had an ERA under 8.
Yeah,
I love that. So yeah, defend your boy. Try.
Larson wasn't going to play this year, even if he was just below Patrick Young, because he was behind Patrick Young and Vernon Macklin. This wouldn't be worth putting
even,
him on the team and not
the
play
most hated
ever.
Gator, Dan Warner, did not redshirt.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't get him out as soon as possible.
He probably should have redshirted
the car wash real quick.
He should have redshirted like his senior year. Just like, all right, you're really not ready to play. All right, we have a most memorable. We've done like highlights, like our favorite, in terms of just like magnitude, the biggest thing you covered. Greg, your NCAA tournament, because Kyle mentioned the Urban Meyer thing, and I was like, oh, yeah, that happened. Like, the whole coaching change, like, in terms of the biggest. But was that, like, a sense of been there, done that? Did it not weigh? Because that was all we talked about last year
What's
on the final podcast.
What's the category again?
The most memorable. Like, the biggest thing you covered.
Wow. You know? Again, just. See, I kind of got, you know, my situation was a lot different than a lot of yours, and it wasn't really necessarily, like, Florida's fault or anybody's fault, but, like, I covered all the football stuff all the time, and then when basketball season came around, I got to do a lot of regular season stuff, and then I got seniority pulled on me for all the postseason stuff, so I didn't get to cover any of the cool basketball stuff, which would have been awesome this year. Right. So, that's obviously the coolest stuff that happened, but I just wasn't around for it. So, yeah, most memorable stuff, I mean, I guess it's the Urban Meyer stuff, but, like, I don't... I'm going to try to forget as much as I possibly can for this football season. So.
I would say the Muschamp thing is probably more memorable because unlike last year, there's actually a coach hired this year. Like, we had all been through the motions of Urban Meyer stepping down and it being emotional, him really loving his family. And he
loves his family.
And Nikki getting her daddy back. But, you know, this time it was like, hey, we're actually going to bring in a new coach. And I think that's what was different, obviously.
Yeah.
I agree with Tyler. I think that coaching change was obviously the biggest thing Tyler, me, and Kyle covered. But... my most memorable thing was covering the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. That was really cool, just flying out there by myself and taking a taxi to the hotel.
First time out of the hometown.
Yeah, it was a different experience for me, but it was definitely really cool. Even though I got only was there for two days because the team was the first one. The team was the first one eliminated from the tournament. So
going back to the Muschamp thing real quick, have any of us talked about on the podcast where we were when we found out that Muschamp got hired?
No, is this like JFK died? Everyone knows where they were.
Well, no, because we were all together. Because we were all at the party at Kyle's house.
Oh, that's
right. It was before the party.
We didn't find out. We didn't find out until we went into Kyle's house because we had gone out to lunch or dinner. And then like my boss called me and was like, "Hey, do you do anything tonight?" And I was like, "Well, I'm going to a party." She said, "All right, well, don't worry about it." And I didn't know what she was referring to. And then we walked in the room. And on the bottom line, the crawl, it was the night of the Heisman Trophy thing, obviously, when Cam Newton wins. And
Florida couldn't have that.
Yeah, exactly.
So Muschamp gets hired. And then I think everyone was kind of like, huh, All right.
I don't know what to do about that. Yeah.
I remember there was a nice little, like, hour and a half build-up because there was, like, the mysterious Trey Burton or whatever.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So then there was kind of, like, a little foreshadowing that nobody knew when it was going to happen. But
It was both.
Yeah, okay. Tebow and then Burton.
I think Burton was first.
Oh, really?
I think Burton was first.
Tebow was, like,
welcome to Gator Nation coach. Like, right. Kind of
that was the Burton one.
Yeah. Somebody said God bless. I don't know. There's a God bless thrown in there somewhere.
The irony was it was earlier that day that our boy Joe Shad and some other people had reported that, you know, Stoops was like on his way to
That was my next thing. I was just shocked that it wasn't Stoops based on the fine journalists that were reporting that as a lock. So I won't name any names, go into any detail. It was more than one.
Jesse
and,
will.
Good job. Way to get that story.
Killed it. You were at Zaxby's? That got lost in the shuffle. Yeah, Greg sounds like he has a story.
I was just getting out of the car at Zaxby's, and I said, hey, let's check what's going on at Twitter.
to who were you saying, hey, let's as a group figure out what's going on Twitter? Because that's not a group activity.
Jared.
Oh, Jared?
Yeah, Jared. Your friend Jared.
Is it Jared or Derek? I honestly can't remember at this point.
Derek,
okay.
Shout out to Derek. He's probably going to listen to this like 5 months from now.
All right, continuing on a long, proud tradition of reader emails, we're going to... Somebody's supposed to laugh at that because we don't get many. All right. we got an email from friend of the show, Alex Palomino, who first of all started at Gentlemen of the Alligator Sports Podcast. He's asking, what merits a nearly 50% increase in student season ticket prices for Gators football? Is the UAA getting ready to build more facilities? I have to imagine that they're saving money on payroll this year without Urban. Are they anticipating lower attendance and they're greedy enough to recoup that difference with a premium? We're already getting effed, if I may use the parlance of our times, by textbooks, tuition, bright futures, inflation, and the economy. And then he said it's good to hear us back, and he hopes Mike McCall makes it to be CEO of Mochi. And then he credited our relentless effort. Shout out to the original catchphrase of the podcast. So, yeah, what do y'all think of the 50% season student ticket increase in Gators football?
Got to pay for that lacrosse stadium somehow.
Yeah, fans aren't doing it. Well, the fans actually showed up a couple games this year in lacrosse. But
right.
I think one thing that he did talk about is that he said they imagine they're saving a lot of money with not having Urban. They're not saving that much money because they're actually paying more for assistant coaches than they had in the past. Like Weiss is the highest paid assistant coach in Florida history and things like that. Overall, they're not spending as much on coaches, but it's not as big of a difference as you would think. So I don't think that's what's going on. I don't really know, though. I'm very excited to see what they roll out.
Right.
I don't know the reason. I'm definitely not going to pretend to. But the decrease in attendance definitely can't be it. I mean, they're going to fill that swamp no matter what. If anything, that's why they can do this. They know those tickets are being sold no matter what. So they can kind of set whatever price they want to. But, yeah, I mean, I don't... Inflation, man.
Right. That's really all it is. Just, like, it was time to raise price. Like, they were cheap before. Like,
nobody I always felt they were very cheap.
They're still cheap. $20 a ticket is still great.
It's 15.
You can recoup that money in one ticket, selling one Florida State ticket or one, you know, Tennessee ticket or something anyways.
Exactly. So. But that's sort of an interesting point he talks about, though, is, like, we're getting... effed, using the parlance of our times.
I do like the fact that he used the word effed and then parlance.
Well, he used the full word. I'm just it's a family friendly show.
Either way, I like the fact that he used that word and then parlance together. Like, that's a nice juxtaposition.
It's very strong. But, like, he's a fair point that, you know, students, like, tuition's going up, I think 30% increase or something insane that fortunately we don't have to deal with.
Bright Futures
is getting cut. Like, students are kind of getting, using the parlance of our times, effed. Yeah, they're getting the shaft. So it's kind of an interesting time for them to do this. But to be fair, they don't care. Season student tickets are always going to sell out. Student section is always going to be filled. Do they really even care about – I mean, as much as they care about the Gator Nation and they care about appeasing their fans, are the students really that important to them?
No, students are least important. The students don't give any money. When students start giving money, that's when they'll start caring.
And that's when they become alumni.
What would be the most they could charge and still back it out?
The most they could charge for students?
Student tickets and still back it out.
Like one – 150, 160, I would think.
Per ticket?
No, not per ticket. For like
I'm talking season tickets.
Honestly, they could probably charge
$200.
Do you think 200?
Yeah.
Because
that's not...
They should charge that much then. Like, if they could sell it out, why not?
Look at Chang sitting here freaking helping out.
Simply supply and demand. Like, that's how everything is.
He's the finance major in this.
Supply and demand.
If face value still, what, 35 a ticket times 7 games is, you know, $245, if that's right. I've been out of college.
Some fast math.
They could at least charge that, and then you wouldn't be getting a break, but you'd be getting the right to reserve all those tickets, which in and of itself is near impossible.
Exactly.
So, but at the same time, you know, a lot of people argue that you know, the majority of schools across the country don't charge the students anything.
Right.
It's free to get in. But that's kind of the price you pay for going to a school that packs the 90,000 fan stadium every single
right.
game. So.
And ostensibly puts out a good product on the field.
Usually.
Maybe not last year, so maybe not this year. Yeah, that's ostensibly being the key word
right,
there.
Right.
All right, anybody else? Greg, you made a noise. I don't know if you had anything to say on that.
Wait, do you guys know how many student tickets that they sell? How big is how
it's
many
20,000?
Like 30, X. 20, 30?
000? X times whatever equals the student amount of tickets.
I mean, obviously that depends. That influences how much they can sell because there's so many people who are willing. But, I mean, I think as long as it's not like 90% of the student population you're counting on, you're going to get them to pay whatever it takes.
Right. The thing is, too, is the UA is not losing money, and they are built to make money, and they make, what, $90 million a year?
Definitely not losing
exactly. money. So it's like, this is just another chance for them to make money. I mean, people are offended that a business is trying to make money, and that's, you know, that's kind of a problem. And it sucks for the students, like Alex said, you know, they're getting shafted and effed and whatever from every conceivable angle at this time. But, you know, it's in 5 years, $15 won't seem like that big of a deal. So let's move on, and we'll do the next little topic here. We did it last year on the 100th episode. Spectacular, was it called?
Extravaganza.
Extravaganza. Yeah, or maybe it was the 50th episode extravaganza, yeah. The 100th episode spectacular. We don't have a name for this one. It's 133rd, which is a weird number. But since Chang and I are on our way out, we did this thing last year called Then and Nows, where we go around and the four of you will go and we'll do each other, if you will, if I can use the parlance of our times. about our first memories of the two of us, okay. The graduating seniors, and now how much they hate us or how much they love us. So we'll start with Jesse. You've got the shortest time to cover here for Changarang and me. Start with Chang. Do then and nows of Chang and then me.
The first time I met Chang was actually last summer. I had just gotten on board, and he was the editor, and I came in. And I was like, who is this? And I had gotten the name Anthony Chang, obviously.
Hey, we had sports reporting together.
That actually is. I didn't know.
These are the moments this is for.
We were talking Damn. About just the edit. I thought we were Damn. Talking just in the
album. No, in general.
Oh, in general, then that was. I met him in sports reporting. I knew he was this guy that was obsessed with college baseball. He and Cody Jones were all about the Gator baseball team. And Cody Jones did the project together. They did the feature thing on the Gator baseball player. It was Gator baseball all the way for the Chang Rang.
All right, and then now you developed along with Chang.
Oh, now I just know him as this sweet talking nice guy that likes to hang out in the office and loves the heat.
Sweet talking nice guy. Care to elaborate? What have y'all done since you met?
I've never heard Chang say one mean thing about somebody. That's all I'm gonna say.
Aw, that's, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, this is coming from someone like me. So.
All right, I guess I'm not going to say do me, but move on.
Oh, well, the first time
needs a little attention here, Jesse.
The first time I met Adam was actually at said party we're talking about with the Will Muschamp thing.
The Muschamp party we threw.
Yeah.
The Muschamp party.
In retrospect, I'd like it referred to that. It's a good call, Tyler.
That's good.
And I talking about not saying anything mean about somebody, I actually walked up, had never met Adam, and said something very hilariously ill-spirited about somebody else that works for the Alligator. and
he's just speaking in code.
that was my introduction to Adam, and then we've hit it off from there, and I've had a great time. You know, I've worked with Adam this whole semester, so. I see big things from the Barry man.
Oh, thank you. We have a common thread of just hating everything. It works out well for us.
Yeah.
And then now Jesse's actually taking over the reins from me in the summer as sports editor, so I'm leaving the future in your hands.
Yeah, I'll try to disappoint you.
That's what we aim to do. We aim to, what's my thing? Under-promise and over-deliver.
Yeah.
So aim low, and then whatever you do seems better off for
it. Sounds good for the future.
All right, Greg?
Okay,
start with your boy. Start with your boyfriend Chang.
Greg loves Chang.
Everyone loves Chang.
Yeah, that's
Chang,
true.
Chang is the best. But ever since I heard we were going to be doing this, I was trying to remember my first memory of Chang, and I have nothing until when he was my editor in the last fall.
Did y'all speak
that's
before
the
then?
First, do you know?
I knew of you. I mean,
okay, yeah, obviously I knew he was out there. Like, I knew he was just wandering the earth, but I've never actually. never actually had an interaction with the man.
Okay.
But now, let's see, through a couple semesters here, him being the boss, fact-finding, you know, fun stuff like that, I feel like Chang and I have
Fact-finding is a class, by the way. They weren't just finding facts.
I'm sorry.
Just to clarify.
It's a hobby of ours.
Yeah, they were just, like, looking stuff up.
Take through records. But no, I feel like Chang and I have become pretty good friends, and I've enjoyed working with him, because it's been funny because, you know, first I was sending my stuff to him, and then last semester he was kind of sending his stuff to us, so... It's been a fun relationship, and I've enjoyed working with Mr. Chang. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Greg.
I look forward to seeing what both of you guys do, but Chang especially. I think he's better.
Right, go ahead, Greg. Yeah, that's fair. No, that's perfectly fair.
I'm just kidding. I'm not.
Yeah,
gonna
that's pick. Fair.
Let's see. For Adam,
this is where he's gonna make me cry.
Adam, first thing I remember was when I was doing softball, and he was in here when I brought in my little preseason feature,
mm-hmm.
and he just edited the crap out of it and. You know, you tore it apart and rebuilt it.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Hey, I was happy with how it came out. Okay. So whatever, people. Ace in the hole. Go alligator search that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Adam's always been really, really good at his job, I felt like. He's a great editor. He taught me a ton this semester, obviously. He was the sports editor. I was the assistant. So I learned a lot from him that way, and we had a lot of fun times in here. Like he mentioned with the Nashville trip was a lot of fun, and... he's a hateful, hateful man, but he's very, very, very good at his job. And I feel like we made some progress with some young writers. We put out a good section. Got this podcast back on track. I know you guys are all thankful for that right about now. Got the video show going, which was, we had fun times with that. A lot of work. A
lot of late nights in the office.
Yeah, so we got a lot accomplished. I'm looking back on this semester as a whole from maybe what I expected coming in. I'm kind of very happy with how it turned out. I don't know how you feel, but.
Yeah, I mean, to clarify my hatefulness, like, I hated everyone and everything from the hours of 6 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Consistently.
Yeah, like, I'd never let up on that. Whenever we were in this office working and putting out a newspaper, I just hated everyone. Because everyone was just, you know, like what did I describe this job as? Herding cats, you know? Everyone's got their ideas, you got to keep them in line and bring them to where you know they're supposed to go. So, I mean, I came across as hateful sometimes, and I have high expectations, and Greg got the brunt of that most of the time, for which I have apologized profusely.
Better. It's like, that's so key. Like, some people don't take criticism well enough. That's what's up. Hey.
All right, Tyler, you got anything to say?
Oh, you guys are going to make me emotional. All right, my first memory of Anthony was actually not... I never even had met Anthony yet. But we one night in the office, my freshman
I've heard
year,
about this,
which
I've
would
heard
be
about this.
Winter of 2008, Adam sent out an email. It was like a Thursday night. The next day was Friday. We pretty much all didn't have class. We were all going to go play basketball. And Adam sent out an email to the whole staff, basically like, hey, we're going to try to go meet up at Southwest Rec to play basketball at like 2 o'clock tomorrow. If you want to be in, let me know. And Anthony responds with, hello, I am the new Alligator Sports golf writer. I am pleased to be on staff, and I look forward to working with you. Unfortunately, Friday will not be good for me. I have important things to take care of that day. But if you ever want to play basketball again, I look forward to playing with you. And Adam read the whole thing out loud. And I'm like, what did you email him? And he goes, oh, I emailed that you want to play basketball.
I was like, you want a ball Friday? Hello. Hi, I'm Anthony. I remember that. My God.
It was the most professional email response to a ball question that you'll ever get.
Yeah, that's true. Did you respond to just me, or was that a reply?
No, it was just to you because you read it, but you read it everybody. Okay. So it was
thanks, Adam. Put him out like
about
that.
To
before we ever met you.
Yeah. It's like this kid that go ahead. And, actually, no. I'm gonna do mine about Chang right now while it's on the topic. We didn't want to hire Chang.
Yeah, I was just gonna get to that.
One. Okay. All right. Well, then we'll get to that later. But just keep that in mind as we're going throughout this whole thing.
We didn't want you.
Yeah.
I was not part of that, actually. Yeah. I'm just saying that. Yeah. And then, obviously, this last year, like, I would say the year 2010 was the Tyler and Anthony year. We became BFFs because we both covered baseball together. So we spent a lot of those 4 hours in the press box together. We drove to Tampa for a Florida State game together. We drove to, like, Jacksonville.
Tallahassee
together. And then we went to Hoover together in Alabama and covered the SEC baseball tournament together. And then, obviously, I went off and did an internship for the summer and then came back in the fall. And I was at Anthony's assistant for the paper. So we spent a lot of nights together.
Not just in life.
In a way.
It is life.
Kind of. It was life, basically.
Yeah, it basically became life. So from 6 o'clock at night to about 1 a.m. every night, 5 nights a week, we were together. And then also, obviously, we covered football together. So from 12 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock at night, we were together. So you figure that out. We spent more time together than we did with anyone else in our lives last year. And then he actually, Anthony drove me home during Christmas break, and we said that's the most fitting way to end our year.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because we didn't see anybody but ourselves that much. It was incredible. We could have had a reality show.
That would have been a heck of a reality show.
Yes. Right. Now, moving on to you. I'll do you now, Adam.
Yeah, Tyler.
For sure. I came in, I want to say, okay, Jesse, I came in, I want to say summer 2008. I had just graduated from high school and I was here for summer classes at UF as a wide-eyed freshman. And I actually came into the office because I had been exchanging emails with the sports editor at the time. And he said, come into the office, we'll meet. And so I rolled up and he said, come in at like 6 or 7 o'clock at night and we'll meet. And I came in at 6 or 7 o'clock at night and the editor wasn't there. So I asked Adam, who was working there that night, I said, hey, is Brian coming in? And he said, yeah, he should be in here later. I think he was covering something in Orlando or something. I don't know what he was doing. But anyway, I ended up sitting in the office for like 2 hours waiting for Brian to show up. And during that time, I kind of started talking to Adam a little bit and some other people. And I remember making a Flavor Flav reference and Adam picking up on it and really enjoying it. We made a good joke about that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, and he was wearing, also Adam was wearing a Mighty Ducks shirt, which I love because I love the Mighty Ducks. And
Jay shirt, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Charlie Conway jersey shirt.
Yeah, so that became like, I liked Adam, he's like the pop culture guy. And then the next fall, I got Adam confused with another person that worked at the office named Evan. And I started making all these cultural references to Evan, and Evan didn't get it at all. Yeah. And I was like, dude, what happened? Like, I thought we were all trying to be good friends. And I would say these things, and he'd just be like, I don't know what you're talking about, and walk away. And I'm like, okay, well,
there's a bear on your shirt.
Right, those kind of things. So I wore a polo shirt with a bear on it, and he was like, why do you have a bear on your shirt?
Yeah.
Things like that. He didn't totally get it. And then the next winter 2009, around the time that we all got Anthony Chang's delightful email, Adam started working as the assistant editor at that time, and I was working in the office, and I realized, oh, this is the kid who made all the pop culture references and stuff like that. So then that's when we started becoming an unstoppable force.
Yeah.
And since then, we spent a lot of time together. My favorite memory of Adam would be that time we went to every pawn shop in Gainesville. Yeah. We were looking for a boombox, like an old-school boombox. Never found one. Ran across plenty of drug dealers during our journey. But came across two terrible movies, both of which are pretty much the most awesome things ever. One being Tiptoe, starring Matthew McConaughey, which a lot of people will kind of know about now at this point. The other one was even worse. It was called The Last Game. I'll let Adam explain a little bit about The Last Game.
Who's the actor? Was it
Joey Travolta?
Joey Travolta.
Brother of John Travolta.
Yeah, lesser known brother of John Travolta, Joey. Stars in an epic piece of cinema about a deaf girl who plays, I believe, high school basketball.
That would have been middle school basketball.
It could have been middle school. I don't know if it was just poorly casted. It could have been either way. Their coach looked like Weird Al Yankovic. That's the one memory I'm always going to take from that movie. And the fact that the girl was deaf was ultimately unimportant in the plot of the movie, other than a couple of really emotionally touching scenes with the guidance counselor where we just laughed our way through them. And, yeah, it's really, really, really spectacularly awful in a great way. That's one thing I always remember about Tyler, is that we share a love for really, really bad things.
Culture.
Yeah, really, really bad culture that we enjoy and laugh at. And, for instance, The Room, one of the greatest bad movies of all time, which I think that's sort of like our legacy to people, is Leaving the Room.
Right. We actually watched that on your birthday.
Mm-hmm. My 20th or 20th or 21st birthday, I believe.
I don't know. That's how I... That's
21st
how you,
birthday.
That's not how you normally celebrate your 21st birthday, but that's how we did it, so...
Right, let's move on. Kyle, start with Chang Rang.
All right. Well, I've known both of you guys since the beginning, because I'm the old one in the room. But Chang, as Adam alluded to, came in when Evan was sports editor, Adam was assistant editor, and I was online editor. And he came into an open house to get hired. And I don't know how many people we got, 5 or 6 or whatever, but we were, you know, kind of ranking them, figuring out who we wanted to hire and stuff. And we ended up hiring everyone, I think, out of that class. So that wasn't necessarily the issue. But me and Adam both, I know, had Chang ranked a lot lower than Evan did. Evan, I guess, had already, Chang had come in for a previous open house, so Evan had already had some experience with him and
stuff really?
Like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Chang... Kind of my favorite thing to see at the Alligator is, and it's been alluded to here with Tyler, say the email that Chang sent back, or a little bit with this story, is people come in and they think the Alligator's like this huge deal, you know, like when you first start, it's like really like important and professional and prestigious, and like, you know, maybe it is all those things to a degree, but by the time you leave, you certainly have a much different view on, you know, how seriously and intense to take everything here, and you make a lot of friends along the way, and it becomes a lot less of like, you know, a real, like, work environment. You don't have bosses, you know, the same way. So, but it is funny to see how, like, your attitude changed. It happens to all of us. I was the exact same way. So, Chang, I think, is somebody, you know, he was really concerned about making a good first impression and stuff. And I think he was really nervous. Yeah. And he didn't come across as great as he could have in his interview. And, you know, obviously, you know, me and Adam were very wrong. And I'm very glad that he got hired. We took him on. He went on to be, you know, the best writer out of that class by far. So
the only one who stayed on staff as well. You were the Irving Walker of your class.
So thank God that it went down the way it did. Another thing, another, you know, formula or something I postulated after the fact of working here is just that, you know, you just want to take the people that really want it. They really want to do it. Those are the people you want to hire. Like, coming in, you just don't know. If they come in with clips, sometimes they look impressive and you just... You don't know who gave them that chance in the first place and how much it was edited and all. You don't know all the factors that led to everything. The one thing that all the good people have that come through here is they all want to do it. And that's, you know, really the most important thing that you're looking for in the interviews, which can be very tough. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that was my first impression of Chang. And, again, I've, you know, I saw Chang come up throughout, you know, the last 3 years, and he's obviously leaving. I was just telling him before the podcast he's got an internship with MLB.com, and then that's going to roll right into an internship with the Sun Sentinel for the fall. And graduated in 4 years, something I can't claim and a lot of us can't claim. So, you know, he really just did a great job. I enjoyed covering football with him, and he should be really proud about how far he's come and what he's been able to accomplish. Definitely, like, another, like, model person to point to. Like, you put your head down, do some work, and, you know, the alligator will pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Adam, I was here for that summer too. They were talking about the summer that Tyler and Adam first came in. They kind of came in together, and I was just in the office, like, pretty infrequently. As it is over the summer, it's only like twice a week, so I was probably in here once a week, and I was covering softball a lot during that time. So, you know, my first impression was just Adam was just coming in, getting his feet wet, just somebody who's kind of hanging out in the office. Like, I you know.
You know the reason I actually came in the first night? Because you weren't here. You are the reason I got hired. You took the night off. Like, I guess you said you were, like, working on a feature or something. Uh-huh. And then Mike DeFernando, who was also in the office, he was the online editor, gave me, like, one of these motions, one of, like, the drinking motions. Because it was, like, July 4th or something around that time. Okay. Like, it was the start of summer B, I guess.
Right.
And so, like, and they called me in to night edit, because that's what you did two nights a week during the summer. So they called me in to do that.
Okay.
And then I was like, can I get a job? Like, I'll copy edit, I'll do whatever. And then Brian, the editor at the time, hired me as well. So because you didn't show up that night.
There you go. So I blew off some night editing, understandably so, over the summer. And Adam came in. So, you know, I'd see him in the office every once in a while. And then I don't really know how me and Adam was just always around after that. And me and him got to be, like, pretty good friends. And he would come to me just about, you know, just asking for advice on how to handle certain things or how to do certain things. And me and him just would talk all the time about that kind of stuff. And I think everybody else was kind of, like, out of Gainesville at that time. And when they were coming back, you know, I was kind of involving Adam and all the stuff that was going on. So that's kind of how that got started. And then now, I mean, the stuff Adam's been able to do this last semester is really pretty incredible. First of all, the podcast that he's run this whole time, you can tell, you know, the podcast was never as good when Adam wasn't here. And he does a great job hosting it. I was talking about that with Dee for the other day, too. And, you know, something really to be proud of. It had a long, sustained run, and it got much bigger than we ever thought it would be at the time that Adam started it. And the video show is just another step in that process, too. He's somebody like me. He takes his job very seriously. It's important to him that the Alligator is, like, respected and does well. It's not funny when a mistake is made. It's important to, you know, be accountable. And, you know, like Chang, the stuff he's been able to do internship-wise and stuff, he's going to have a great career after this and, you know, should really be proud. And also with Adam, I was thinking about this the other day. No offense to anyone, to Chang or to Tyler in this room, but I consider Adam, like, the last one of, like, my generation, sort of, even though he came in a little younger than us. But we were all doing stuff, like, together, like, pretty early on. So I consider Chang and Tyler, like, very closely related, like, the next generation after that of guys. But, yeah, I was thinking about how, like, once Adam's gone, everybody who I was, like, you know, very close with from the beginning is gone at this point.
Right, because it was the guys last year, like, I mean, Phil and Bobby and Mike this fall.
And you and Deifer,
yeah.
If I can be uncomfortably emotional for a little while, like everything I learned at the Alligator and pretty much throughout my career, I've learned from Kyle. Like from that first summer, he took me under his wing. Deifer did as well, which I kind of forget about looking back because like Deifer's always just been like the fun guy. Right. But like really, Deifer and you, and then brought me into the group and then helped me get more involved. And you not wanting to be assistant editor that spring allowed me to do it, which allowed me to start this.
As I look back, there's a lot of Kyle not wanting to do things that led to opportunities for other people.
Which I really appreciate. It helped us out. It worked out well for all of us. But then that spring, obviously, I liked working with you. And then we had the summer, the Oklahoma City road trip. was a trying moment for our friendship. And then we've had a lot of good times in terms of covering basketball. And then obviously we lived together this spring, even if I'm not home a whole lot. We did have a lot of good times, just, and you've been a good mentor, a great coworker, and an even better friend this whole time. So
thanks, man. Right back at you. Definitely, like, you know, we don't want to get too dusty.
Yeah.
But, you know, me and Adam talk about this kind of stuff all the time, and then, you know, we've been together, like I said, from the beginning. So it's really cool to see what he's been able to do.
You got vitamin C song.
Yeah. Greg's crying.
Chang? Yeah. Me or you? Who do you want?
I'll go first.
All right.
Well, my first impression of Adam was when I came in to interview that second time, because the first time I was turned down. And the second time I remember I came in, it was the day after the Gators won the national championship against Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And I came in, button-down shirt, tie, yep. Dress pants, dress shoes, and I come in and everyone just like, what are you wearing?
At least you didn't wear a Gator sweatshirt.
The first time I did wear a Gator sweatshirt, and that's why I did not get hired. So the second time I came in, I was all dressed up, and I was really nervous. Like they said, it was obvious. Mm-hmm. And I remember waiting for that email for, like, 3 or 4 days. Every 5 minutes checking my email, and I finally got it. I was really happy. But the first impression really that I have from Adam is that second story. I remember I sent him my second story of golf, and later that night, like, at 12:30, probably, like, after they finished running the paper, he sends me a lengthy email, one of his Adam emails, like, 1,000 words long. On my story, and that email is still today. I still have it saved. Like it's still something that like it. That email helped me become a better writer. Like from that point on, I really started to get like what this was all about and all that. I look toward Adam as like the guy that helped me get on track.
Was this the feature?
No, it wasn't the feature. It was a game story.
Okay,
it was like my second golf story. You were like, oh, it was like really nice. It was like you've been doing a pretty good job so far, but like there's some stuff that I would work on. And from there, I remember I looked at that email like all the time when I was writing stories, and it really helped me.
See, I learned because I got those from Kyle and Mike.
Well, I was going to say, if I can interject here, like, it's funny how, like, the chain kind of went down. Like, Phil was somebody who really, really, really helped me when I first got here. He took a lot of time working with me on some stories. And then, you know, I took a lot of time with Adam working on stories, and he kind of passed it down to Anthony. And that's kind of something cool that you get to see through the generations. And you can tell, you know, the people who make it, everybody in this room, everybody who's really done a good job and got jobs and stuff, like, really wanted it. Like, it was never, like, a question of, like, the Alligator's always our first priority. It's right. Something we worked on. And then something real quick about Chang covering golf. Adam made a joke about the turn the monkey thing. But that was a great story that Chang wrote. That was probably the first story that Chang wrote where we were all like, oh, this is a really good story. Chang did a really great job. And, like, you can kind of see some of the potential about the turn the monkey. It was a Billy Horschel story.
No, it was Tyson. Buddy Alexander, right, father, yeah. Son.
There you go. So I've forgotten a little bit, but I'll never forget that whole like lead in mm-hmm. and end of that story.
Absolutely.
So it was definitely a great job by Chang there.
There you go.
All right, so I guess I'm going on to you now because mine's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
You came in. I didn't want to hire you. I thought you were too quiet. I was like, we can't hire this kid. And I don't know what the hell we're thinking because the people we ended up hiring. Because it's like you said, we always should hire based on personality and how much they want it. And Chang came in, and he clearly wanted it based on that tie he was wearing.
Right.
And for some reason, I wasn't feeling the Chang at the time. Clearly, I was wrong. I was very happy I made that mistake, as it turns out, because then you got to prove me wrong. And the turn the monkey features was my Chang moment, because I remember you sent it to me and Evan, yeah. I think, at the time, and I was like, Evan, I got this, and I sent it to you. The thing I remember about that story was not only the turn the monkey, but the original draft. Every graph was like, but what he didn't realize was this colon word. Every graph was that. So I was like, all right, this is nice. I sent you an Adam email. I was like, this is nice. Don't do that. Yeah. Stop doing that forever. And then we fixed the turn the monkey feature, and that turned into your – that's like Kyle said. That was like a coming out party at the Alligator.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, God, we went to cover – we spent a lot of time covering volleyball together. You got to cover the worst, the only non-SEC championship volleyball team in Florida.
I'm just in bad luck in general to UF Athletics.
Kind of, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, Florida, yeah, the football team. Well, the baseball team worked out. Oh, pretty well. Yeah,
I mean, they went to Omaha, they lost. Right away.
You shouldn't have done that.
Nah.
But then
I shouldn't have gone out there. It was a bad sign.
The thing that I'm probably always going to remember about Anthony is that you were supposed to be my assistant in the fall. That was supposed to be the way it was going to work out. I was going to come back after covering the Rays, and Anthony was going to be my assistant. And then I got the St. Pete Times internship, and I had to tell Chang. I was like, well, you're in charge now, Chang. I've made all the jokes that I've abandoned you, that I sold you out.
Like, damn,
baby
Greg.
Like baby Moses in the river. I threw you in the river, just let you go. But I couldn't have been more proud, as it turned out. I knew that I was leaving it in capable hands. And even as tough as it was, and even as bad as I felt about abandoning you like that, I think it worked out pretty well in the end. And I really trusted you to do it. You guys did a great job. And that enabled Greg to get the brunt of my fury, which you guys can we can apologize about that later. But yeah, I mean, it's been a pleasure working with you. I couldn't be any happier that our goodbye columns ran right next to each other, yeah, side by side, which I was very happy about. And it's been a lot of fun working with you, and an honest pleasure. And like Kyle said, you're gonna do awesome things covering the Rays, which I'm very jealous of, because you get a much more fun, entertaining. Maybe
you're
not as
good.
You're
in San Francisco.
You're Brian Wilson.
The best city. Yeah. Shut up. One of the best cities in
true
America.
He's got swept
by the Braves. Yeah. Oh, God. I was wondering. I was like, how do you know? Of course, it was by the Braves. So, yeah. And then from here, Chang's gonna go cover the Rays for MLB.com. I'm going to go cover the Giants. So in a weird way, we are still working together, even if it won't seem mm-hmm that way, which I see as kind of a fitting end to our Alligator careers. All right, and let's round this final show up. We're a man down already. The length of this podcast has worn down Jesse. He had to leave, go pick up a friend who had a car accident. So Jesse is beyond us right now, but we've got our majors and Wandies, our Major Right Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport, and Wandy Pierre-Louis Bad Angles of the Week. Those have been the names of those awards this whole year. Maybe they'll change.
They will change.
Wow. They will change come summer or fall. And let's get the last ones out of the way. We're going to do year-long majors and Wandies, since I firmly believe in ending on a bad note. We're going to start with the majors, so we're going to start with Greg.
All right. It's an easy choice for me. Obviously covering basketball this year. My year-long major is going to go to Billy Donovan. I think he's a great coach. Obviously, some of those in-game decisions came into question down the stretch, but more than any of that, I appreciate Billy for his life lessons. I plan on listening through or going through a couple of transcripts at some point this summer and just pulling out all of the great nuggets he has that have nothing to do with basketball. It is all about life,
yeah,
and just how you should be living and the way you need to approach things. And I think he's a brilliant, brilliant man.
At what point,
I look forward to learning from his insights.
At what point do you ask him about love? That's the only thing missing.
It's going to be a column. That's my goodbye column. I'll talk to Billy about love, and then I'll just compile it. And then, yeah.
I hope you do that.
I really hope you do that. Yeah, that's great. All right, Tyler?
I guess my major is going to be kind of boring, but I'm going to give it to the guy who will probably actually have his name instead of the majors. It'll probably be the Ahmads next year, because that was the one bright spot of the Florida defensive backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And the one bright spot of the Florida football team last year, really, was watching him play really well. A guy who's obviously doesn't have the quote-unquote measurables, kind of a smaller guy, but he made like every tackle. He had, I think, 107 tackles this year, and then everyone else, like the next high is like 60, something like that. Ugh. I don't know, but yeah, it was the one guy who was kind of fun to watch this year, I would say.
I like that, and I like Ahmads as an award name.
Yeah.
Sounds very honorable.
All right, my major, it goes over 2.5 years, and I want to give it to the friends I made here at the Alligator, just because those are some of my best friends during college, and I mean, they made this job a lot fun than it should have been, a lot easier than it should have been. It's been a great 2.5 years, and I'll, you know, hopefully we'll all keep in touch, and I just want to give them that award.
I like it.
Thank you.
Well played.
Kyle?
My major is going to go just the basketball team in general. I think they had a great year and really exceeded a lot of expectations. Like I said, I got to cover a lot of the regular season stuff. I wish I could have covered the postseason stuff too, but they were fun to be around, at least, you know, while I was at the games and at the media practice stuff. So good job, basketball team, and, you know, pretty a nice group of guys from what I can tell, too, arrests notwithstanding recently. So
I'm going to fight the urge to give it to Chandler Parsons. I'm going to fight the urge to give it to Chandler Parsons' mom for being so nice and friendly and for actually asking for copies of the paper with the feature I wrote about her son in it. She actually did it. I had to mail stories to the Parsons residence. And I'm going to give it to our readers and viewers and listeners for that. You guys are like kind of what we do this for. Obviously, we do a lot of this for ourselves, especially this last self-serving half hour or so. But ultimately, like, the feedback we get specifically a guy like Ed Spillane, Vince, Shira Pinkser, people like that, like people that we actually remember from getting your emails and reading them and trying to make this show better. Like I said, to a certain extent, we do this for ourselves, you know, to keep us off the streets for at least just one semester at a time. But mostly, like, we do it for y'all. So we appreciate that. So let's move on to our Wandies. Let's end on a hateful note, because that's apparently the kind of guy I am. Greg?
All right. My Wandy is going to go, and we're very mean to the University of Florida.
Yeah.
Not even, like, as an athletic institution. Uh-huh. More on the academic side. We don't usually seem to be a big fan of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue that and give it to reporting the class. Which was very frustrating to me because
the musical
Electric Boogaloo.
As I was out talking to basketball players, driving to Mississippi State and writing four or so stories a week, that wasn't good enough for them. I had to cover like a book fair or some garbage on a weekend.
I like how you say four or so, as if it wasn't five every week.
Well, I didn't want to overestimate.
Here's what I've learned about the college is, they really want to grade and reward you for who can be the best at pretending to be a journalist. They don't want you to actually be a journalist and then grade you on that. That's not okay. That's outside of their realm. It's whoever can perform in make-believe terms as the best journalist is going to earn those grades.
Exactly.
And distinctions. So.
I just felt really bad that I kind of tried on, you know, like those five stories a week, and then they wanted me to localize the Super Bowl. Like, all right, cool. Hope you enjoy that I just put together at 2 in the morning. Thanks, bro.
Wow. All right, you know, I'm going to let that slide. I should have given my major, by the way, to Greg's Super Bowl localization story. One of the funniest things I've ever read.
What was it?
It was like...
How the bars are affected.
Yeah, he'll set it out over to the staff.
Out, readers.
He literally just, oh, fortunately it's not published, although I would have loved if it had been. No. Like, he just rolled, it was the night of the Super Bowl, Greg just like rolled out to Papa John's on the corner, rolled over to Mother's, and wrote like, it was a great journalism school story, and what'd you get on it?
I got an 85.
Exactly. Yeah. It probably better than I got on anything during my entire time in reporting, because it was like this really like aggrandized, like absolutely like outrageously detailed, ridiculous story. About nothing, essentially. About, like, Greg sees two scenes, writes mediocre, outrageous story.
Yeah, that's exactly
local boy goes to the pizza store, exactly. Tells you what it looks like.
Exactly.
Just trying to sleep, and they want me to do this garbage.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
That's a very good Wandy. I like right. that.
I like that a lot.
Tyler?
All right, my Wandy will go to the person who will ultimately get the name Wandy, or the Wandys will be replaced by Will Hill, who... Ooh,
this is a very good...
obvious one.
Yeah.
Yeah, who combined terrible play on the field with tomfoolery off the field.
Tomfoolery.
Strong.
And then instead of just embracing the fact that he's just an outrageous human being, he decided to say his Twitter account was hacked.
Yeah.
Which, that was the most lovable thing about him, was his just outrageous tweets on Father's Day.
He went back on that later. They changed the story from, my Twitter account was hacked, to... That was something I did when I was, like, a freshman that they're bringing up now, even though there's, like, dates on it.
Yeah.
A week ago.
And we were all before the mainstream media got a hold of this, we were all following this for a good year. So knowing that it was hilarious, hoping maybe he would tweet something that would lead to an actual story.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to, like, shut it down. We knew if we, like, said anything about it, they would shut it down as it did. But Will Hill changed the story from that to that. So.
That's awesome. Just
couldn't up to it.
Two terrible excuses.
Right. Also, Will, if you're listening, we did for a time have your family portrait hanging up in the office.
It would still be there if it didn't fall behind like this impenetrable wall in between like the actual wall and my desk.
Yeah,
it was hanging up right by my desk. I was very happy about it.
It's a great photo of Will and his wife and his like two of his kids. And he's wearing, like, a polo shirt. It's like, everyone's looking really nice for the photo. Then Will throws on a red-fitted Yankees hat.
It's a great look. I'm a big fan of that photo. So, yeah, that's a good award. I like the theme, too. Rarely we get themed awards. Big fan of that.
I'm going to give my Wandy to myself.
There's a lot of self-control.
Because, Adam trusted me with the podcast, and I let it go to... trash. So, and
it didn't go to nothing. That's
nothing.
The problem. It was been terrible.
It didn't.
Fine.
It didn't go. It didn't run in the fall, and I apologize for that. But I know it's going to be in good hands now with Greg, Tyler, Matt, Jesse, and I mean a new position's even being created for Greg, the director of special projects,
the ambassador of the media.
Yeah, that. So I mean, don't worry, podcast listeners. Just because Adam's leaving doesn't mean it's going to end. Like, Greg is going to do a great job with it. So. I want to give it to myself for ruining it for a little bit.
Yeah.
To defend Chang, that's kind of a microcosm of like the too much too soon Anthony Chang story, where like Chang was just getting hit with all this stuff, and like I wish we could have like trained him better for it. He could have got a little more experience, and like God bless him, he did the best he could all the time, and he definitely is nothing to be ashamed about, but...
Trying to pass on all the things I did at one point was like a very, and will be, I guess at this point, a very difficult project, because you got a video show that I sort of know how to do, but I trust Watts to handle that, a podcast, we have to create a special position for it, and then editing the papers.
It's tough. Busy. It's tough to be editor and then do that too. It's very
and
like,
cover a beat too. Yeah. You were also covering football.
Right.
Yeah. But still,
and you were the editor without ever having been assistant editor.
Right,
which is a project.
But still, no excuses. My fault. Sorry.
The Anthony Chang story. No excuses. No excuses. Anthony Chang story. I like too much too soon. The Anthony Chang story. All right, Wandy it up.
All right, my Wandy is gonna go to the alligator. Not to any of you guys, just the existence of the alligator for taking Adam away from me this semester. Adam did a great job. He really put everything into it, just as like you know I did when I was here. But I didn't get to spend a lot of time with Adam this semester because he was busting his ass, putting out a really good product. So I don't really give it to him. I do in that regard. So.
I was actually going to give it to myself for that express purposes, for like I was so busy in here and so blindly ambitious to try to do so many things that I sort of did forget some of the things that got me to that point in college, which was hanging out with friends.
I
haven't seen my friend Terrence. Right, work, yeah. But like, I realized I told my friend Terrence, one of my first roommates when I came here in summer 2007. It's like, no man, we're gonna hang out right when I get back to college in January. I have yet to see Terrence this semester. It's like it's sort of the price we pay here. But I'm gonna give mine also actually to the journalism school for sort of a different reason though.
Double journalism schools.
Screw them. That's what I say. I'm on my way out. I've already got my honors cords, which is enough reason to give them Wandy's because somehow they let me graduate with a decent grade point average, despite the fact that I could not have put in like less work to school, especially this semester. But I'm gonna give it to that also because, like Kyle said, they recognize pretend journalists and the people who are out here. Like, just, you know,
pounding the pavement,
if you will. Like, someone like Greg, who worked, you know, 5 nights a week, 7 days a week, you know, writing good stuff and working hard and, you know, learning a lot of things and spreading himself very thin, learning how to podcast, how to do video, how to write, how to edit, all these things. Someone like him doesn't get recognized for doing that kind of work. We, I think, between us have how many journalism school awards, which I just found out they did. There are journalism school awards, and I believe among us all, we have exactly zero combined.
We're like a lot more internships than the rest of the college.
Exactly, which is what I say is like you know if you want to recognize the pretend journalists, that's good. But I know pretty much for a fact that when I looked around the office, for the most part, I was looking at probably some of the best student journalists Florida Journalism School had to offer.
I'll tell you what, too. I don't know if my fate would have turned out differently had I felt differently about the way things went. I don't want to blame this all on them, but it definitely sucked the life out of me to know that I was busting my rear end at the paper, really doing some real stuff, and none of that was going to count. And
that's
the point where I just said, screw it. I just went for the, taking care of my work and F school and... you know, that probably pisses a lot of people off. And there are some great professors. Two of our professors that we had, Jason Cole and Ted Spiker, I think the world of them. And they've helped me a lot. They've helped a lot of us a lot. So it's not all bad over there. But, yeah. I mean, I think we all feel the same way.
Right.
To a degree.
Yeah. And, I mean, even the guy who teaches reporting, he's not a great mentor to the sports people. But Mike Foley, he was very helpful to me this semester in some things that we had to do. So, like Kyle said, there are some good things in there. But for the most part, the people who you're listening to now, the people whose stuff you read in the Alligator, on alligator.org every day, those are not necessarily what I like to call the journalism school all-stars, who are the people who get rewarded for, you know, being great in class. So, you know, good luck with that in the future. So you see how many internships that's going to get you.
Bitter.
A little bit, yeah. That wraps it up for this show, though. Send any feedback you have to podcast@alligator.org. I'm sure Greg and Watts and Jesse will be happy to read it.
Send Adam all your emotional goodbyes, too. He'll be checking it for a couple more days.
You can forward it to me if you want to.
We'll do that.
That's the thing. I realized like, I have to adjust to like, post-alligator life. I got to get rid of the alligator email on the phone. I don't want to be checking that. I don't want to get press releases from the UA about tennis matches, you know, sent to my email.
Nightmares.
Yeah.
It's the championship tennis team. In case you guys came here to learn anything about Florida sports, both the tennis teams won the SEC tournament this weekend. So.
Huh.
For them.
Neat.
That's some news.
How about that? I hear lacrosse is up to number 2 also.
Lacrosse is, yeah, apparently the best. Yeah, that's something to keep track of this summer when Jesse Watts and hopefully John Booth, who's lacrosse beat writer this semester, will be podcasting. They'll have a lot to say about stuff like that. Keep tuning in. I have no idea when they're going to podcast, but that is it for us. I want to thank you guys listening. Thank you guys in this room for making this a very fun experience to do these last 2 years now. So
Appreciate it all.
Can I sneak in a plug?
Of course.
Sorry, shameless, I know. But InsideTheGators.com on the Rivals Network. That's where you can read all my stuff. Unfortunately, it's not free. The website's really it's humming right now, I'm going to say that. Especially, I've been cranking out a lot of content. I like where we're headed. There's been some changes recently. So, I mean, if you're the type of person who thinks about getting a subscription to one of those sites, definitely make sure you check us out. And hopefully we won't disappoint. So again, InsideTheGators.com, it's where you can find me.
If you want real Florida news right now, you want a real Florida story, go to Inside the Gators and read Kyle's Carlos Dunlap story. I think that is free, right?
Yeah, we made that one free. I pushed for it so we could market it a little bit better. That's one of those stories you write that you're kind of happy about. Not everyone is like this big thing, big production, but I thought it was a cool story. So we made sure we made it free for everybody.
Definitely go read that. And let's, for everybody actually, where can they follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, on whatever, going forward when we're not on the podcast?
I'm at K Mainstream.
Anthony Chang?
Mine is at Anthony_Chang.
Really?
Yeah, I changed it.
Oh,
switching
man.
It up.
Yeah, switch it up.
Big
it's
moment.
Over, man.
And you, obviously, you can follow Chang's stuff, at least for the summer as well.
On Raise.com.
RaiseBaseball.com.
RaiseBaseball.com, sorry.
Good job, Chang.
Hey, man, I haven't started yet.
Yeah, that's fair.
Working for the Raise.
Right, yeah.
And then, I guess in the fall, Sun Sentinel, some stuff I'll be writing, so.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be actually starting covering the Cincinnati Reds a week from today, so Monday, May 3rd. So right now my Twitter is at JetStreaming, but that might change to at TylerJetMLB or something like something boring like
something
that.
Really,
so hop on now, and then I'll change it later.
Greg?
Nobody needs updates of me chilling in Connecticut, I think.
I want updates on you chilling in Connecticut.
Well, then you can get those privately, but that's not going out to the Twitter world.
I want to know what you're reading,
The Twitter world's not ready for that.
So you're still not going to tweet, huh?
Nope.
You're catching a tan in Connecticut all summer.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't no party like a Connecticut party.
It doesn't stop.
That's what I've been told. You can follow me at twitter.com/AdamDBerry. I think that's boring enough to where I don't have to change that. At this point, friend me on Facebook if you want to. I'm probably going to go through a D friend a lot of people here, so you can try to beat the cut. I know that's what Mike extended the invitation for last year, was friend him on Facebook. So I'm going to say friend me on Facebook so I can D friend you on Facebook. I really look forward to that. And then I'm covering the Giants this summer and probably fall for MLB as well. You can find that stuff at sfgiants.com. So tune in for all that, all people you want to be reading and following, whatever life may take us. God knows where that's going to be. But it's been a pleasure these last 2 years, and thanks for listening.
End the show, Barry.